On a chilly night in early 1947, a tall, lanky American with tousled dark hair emerged from a theater in London's West End. Other playgoers pouring into the street from nearby theaters stopped and stared. They had seen the man's angular face and slightly stooped frame in wartime newsreels and newspaper photographs, and most knew immediately who he was. As he and two companions headed down Shaftesbury Avenue, they were surrounded by a throng of people. "Good evening, Mr. Wynant," several in the crowd said. A couple of men doffed their hats. One woman reached out and shyly touched his coat. For those gathered around him, the sight of John Gilbert Wynant conjured up memories of smoke-filled nights in early 1941, when Wynant, the American ambassador to Britain, walked the streets of London during the heaviest raids of the Blitz, Germany's 9-month terror bombing of British cities. He asked everyone he met, firemen, dazed victims, air wardens pulling bodies out of the rubble, what he could do to help. In those perilous times, one Londoner remembered, Wynant convinced us that he was a link between ourselves and millions of his countrymen, who, by reason of his inspiration, spoke to our very hearts. Yet, while he was instantly recognizable in Britain, few Americans had ever heard of Wynant. Even fewer were aware of the key role he had played in shaping and maintaining the alliance between the United States and Britain in World War II. In future decades, that extraordinary partnership, the closest and most successful wartime alliance in history, would come to be known as the special relationship that helped win the conflict, preserve democracy, and save the world. As the years passed and the legend surrounding the alliance took shape, the manner of its creation seemed almost preordained. First, Winston Churchill rousing his nation to stand alone against Hitler. Then Franklin D. Roosevelt and America coming to the rescue of Churchill and the British. But in March 1941, when Wynant arrived in London to take up his post, such a happy ending was far from certain. In the previous 6 months, the Luftwaffe had killed tens of thousands of Britons in its attacks on London and other British cities. British armed forces, which lacked adequate arms and ammunition, were on the defensive everywhere. German submarines were operating at will in the Atlantic, sinking vast amounts of merchant shipping and slowly strangling British supply lines. Starvation for the civilian population loomed as a distinct possibility, as did a cross-channel invasion by Germany. "We were hanging on by our eyelids," recalled Field Marshal Lord Allenbrooke, Britain's top military leader during the war. Wynant himself would later write, "There were many times when one felt the sands would run out and that all would be over." As the British well knew, their only hope for salvation lay in American help. Yet that aid had been miserly thus far, even as Britain's future grew increasingly bleak. Many in Washington had already written the country off. How could this little island, no matter how glorious its military past, resist an invader that had toppled every country in its path like so many duck pins? Among those who believed in Britain's inevitable defeat was Joseph P. Kennedy, Wynant's predecessor as U.S. ambassador, who, along with several thousand other American residents of Britain, fled to the United States at the height of the Blitz. Wynant, by contrast, made it clear from the beginning that he was in the country to stay. "There was one man who was with us, who never believed we would surrender, and that was John Gilbert Wynant," noted Ernest Bevin, a leading figure in Churchill's government. Within days of the new ambassador's arrival, an embassy subordinate remarked he had conveyed to the entire British nation the sure feeling that here was a friend. Wynant, however, was not the only American in London to take a critical role in encouraging the British and pressing for an Anglo-American partnership. Two others, W. Averill Harriman and Edward R. Murrow, were prominent actors in the drama as well. Harriman, the aggressive, ambitious chairman of the Union Pacific Railroad, arrived in the British capital soon after Wynant to become administrator of U.S. Lend-Lease Aid to Britain. Murrow, the head of CBS News in Europe, had been stationed in the British capital since 1937. As the most important Americans in London during the war's early years,